Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaman Iti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Trinadapi Suniche Na Tarod Iva Sahishnuna Amani na manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Harenama, harenama, harenama aiva kevalam. Kalau nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatir anyata. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Clean Advaitaya Namaha. This is the Ramayan, Part 1, Chapter 10, Sad Farewells, Episode 10. Sad farewells. It was now time for Ram and his two companions to say their farewells, holding their weapons and followed by Sita. The brothers made their way towards Dasharath's palace. As they passed along the road, many men crowded around to watch them, plunged in sorrow at seeing their beloved prince leaving. They lamented in various ways. Here passes the same Ram, who before would move regally in state, followed by a huge retinue. Now he walks only with Sita and Lakshman as his companions. Although used to every luxury, he is going to the terrible forest in obedience to his father's word. Some citizens censured the king. They felt he had been gripped by some evil spirit. How could he send his dearest son into exile? Ram's qualities were evident to everyone. His compassion, learning, gentleness, self-control, and mental peace, all were ever visible in that noble prince. The citizens could not face the prospect of Ram's departure. They felt pain, just as a tree with all its fruits and flowers is hurt when the root is damaged. The citizens spoke out in public places. We will give up our homes and villages and go with the pious Ram to the forest. Let us share with him all his joys and sorrows. Let Kaikeyi rule over a deserted kingdom bereft of its people. Everyone feared the prospect of Kaikeyi. She would become powerful as the mother of the new king. They angrily cursed her again and again. All of them would go with Ram. They would abandon the city, leaving the houses to be filled with dust and overrun by mice. The forest would become a city, and Ayodhya, a forest. They would drive out from the forest all the fierce animals and snakes, sending them to live in Ayodhya with Kaikeyi as their protector. The two brothers heard the laments of the people, but they kept their minds under strict control. Smiling gently and glancing with affection at the citizens, they walked together like a pair of powerful lions. They entered Dasharatha's palace and saw Sumantra, who stood with folded hands and a disconsolate face. Ram asked him to announce their arrival to the king. When Sumantra went before Dasharatha, he found the king distracted by grief. He was heaving deep sighs. His eyes were red from weeping. The devoted and faithful Sumantra regarded his master to be like the eclipsed sun or a fire covered by ashes. Bowing at the king's feet, Sumantra said, "The illustrious Ram has distributed all his wealth to his dependents and the Brahmanas. He now stands at your door, awaiting permission to depart for the forest." Ordering his minister to show Ram in, the king also asked that all his wives be present. Sumantra brought the queens, who arrived accompanied by numerous maidservants. He then brought Ram and Lakshman before their father. As Ram entered the room, Dasharatha ran impulsively towards him. But being stricken with sorrow, he fell senseless to the floor. Ram and Lakshman rushed to assist their unconscious father. All the ladies threw up their arms and gave out a wail, which mixed with the tinkling of their ornaments. A commotion then filled the room. Cries were heard. "Alas! Alas, O Ram!" Kaikeyi alone remained unmoved. Ram and Lakshman, both crying, lifted their father and placed him gently on a couch. As the king returned to consciousness, Ram regained his composure and with folded hands spoke, "I have come to take leave of you, Father. Please grant me your permission to go to the forest and allow Lakshman and Sita also to accompany me. And besides, I could not deter them even with great effort. O King, please give up your grief and look favorably upon us. We wish now to depart." Ram calmly awaited his father's permission. The king spoke with difficulty. "As a result of a promise made to Kaikeyi, I have lost my good sense. Therefore, my dear Ram, take me captive and rule over this kingdom." "Fixed in righteousness," Ram replied. "May you rule the earth for another 1,000 years. I have no desire for sovereignty. After a mere 14,000 years have passed, I shall return and once more take hold of your feet, having redeemed your pledge, O ruler of men." Dasharatha was mortified, but he saw Kaikeyi urging him on with covert gestures. Bound by the fetters of truth, he spoke to his son, granting him permission to leave. "O Ram, please leave with an undisturbed mind. May your journey be a safe and happy one." The king was devastated. He could see that Ram's decision to depart was firm and not to be reversed. Ram was devoted to piety and truth. Dasharath requested him to remain for just one night. He and Kausalya might see him a little longer in that way. He wanted to offer Ram all enjoyable things on that last day. Trembling with grief, the king said, "I swear to you, I never wanted this to happen. I have been obliged by Kaikeyi, who has abandoned virtue after long concealing her evil intentions. Your willingness to accept even this terrible order simply to save me from sin proves beyond doubt your greatness. Oh, gentle Ram, I permit you to leave. Only go tomorrow with my blessings." Hearing of his father's request, Ram became concerned. He did not wish to delay his departure any longer. "And who will offer me tomorrow the delights I enjoy today? The time for my departure has come, and I must now cast aside all thoughts of enjoyment. Let me leave right away. Make over this vast kingdom with all its riches and give it to my brother Bharat. My resolution to live in the forest cannot be swayed. Your boons to Kaikeyi should now be implemented in full. I shall live with the ascetics for 14 years. The world should be given to Bharat." Ram moved closer to his anguished father, who sat shaking his head. He asked the king to be firm and free from sorrow. Ram assured his father that he had absolutely no desire for the kingdom, nor for any pleasures, nor even for life itself devoid of virtue. He only wished to execute the king's command and prove him true to his word. Comforting the grieving monarch, Ram said, "Since Kaikeyi said to me, 'Go to the forest, O Raghava,' and I replied by saying, 'I am going,' I must now redeem that pledge. Please let me leave. I cannot wait an instant longer." Ram felt sorrow to see his father suffering such intense agony. Not wanting to increase his father's pain, however, Ram kept his own feelings in check and maintained a calm expression. He spoke gently, assuring his father that he would certainly enjoy his stay in the forest. He would sport happily with Sita in the many delightful woods and groves. Protected by his own weapons and by Lakshman, there would be no fear for them, no fear from the beasts and Rakshasas in the forest. And when the 14 years had passed, the king would find them returned, unharmed, and ready to serve him again. Bharat alone could competently and righteously rule the globe in his absence. Ram added, "I shall never accept the kingdom by bringing infamy to you, O king. Indeed, I could renounce every pleasure, including my own dear wife, in order to satisfy your command. I shall only be happy the moment I enter the forest. You need not feel any pain for me. Be peaceful, my lord. and allow me to leave. Dasharatha, tormented by burning agony, embraced Ram tightly and then again fell unconscious, showing no signs of life. All the queens, along with their maidservants, cried out loudly. Kaikeyi felt her purpose fulfilled and was rejoicing inwardly. Witnessing her silence, the king's intimate friend Sumantra was furious. Beating his head, wringing his hands, and grinding his teeth, he spoke scathingly to her, his eyes blazing with wrath. "Here lies your husband, the support of the whole world, betrayed and forsaken by you, O queen. Surely there is nothing sacred for you. I consider you to be the murderess of your husband and the destroyer of your entire race. Do not despise your lord in this way, for his order is superior to that of a million sons. Ignoring the time-honored rule of primogeniture, you seek to usurp Ram's rights and bring unbearable pain to the king." Tears flowed from the old minister's eyes as he spoke. He told Kaikeyi to renounce her evil aim. If her son Bharat became the king, then no pious man would remain in the kingdom. What joy then would she derive from ruling an empty earth, which was earned by sin? It was a great wonder that the earth did not split apart and swallow her, or that the great sages did not utter fiery curses to consume her on that very spot. Having served the king all his life, Sumantra felt every pain the king felt as if it was his own. As he addressed Kaikeyi, he could hardly bring himself to look at her. "The glorious king will never belie his promise to you. Do not force him to perform an act repugnant to himself and the whole world. Follow the desire of the king and become a protectress of the world. Let Ram be installed on the throne. He will undoubtedly always remain favorable to you in every way. But if, however, on your order he is sent to the forest, then your only gain will be unending infamy. Give up your misguided desire, O Kaikeyi, and live happily." Kaikeyi looked coolly at Sumantra, who stood before her with joined palms, but she made no reply. Her mind remained unmoved as she waited the execution of her order. Seeing her resolve, Dasharatha, who had now regained consciousness, sighed and said to Sumantra, "You should immediately order my army to make ready to depart. They should accompany Ram to the forest. So too should wealthy merchants, skilled at establishing networks of shops. Search out hunters who know the secrets of the forest and send them with Ram. Assemble thousands of capable servants and have them prepare to leave. Indeed, you should arrange for my entire treasury and my granary to be transported along with Ram. He should not have to endure any austerity during the 14 years of exile." As Dasharath spoke, Kaikeyi became alarmed. The king was going to divest the kingdom of all its wealth before her son was crowned? Dismayed and fearful, she turned towards Dasharath and spoke, her mouth parched and her voice choked. How can you bestow upon Bharat a kingdom stripped of its wealth? How then will he actually be the ruler of this world as you have promised? The king turned angrily towards Kaikeyi. After handing me a heavy burden to bear, you are now lashing me as I carry it out? You hostile and vulgar woman! When asking for your boons, you should have stipulated that Ram could not take anything with him to the forest. Abandoning all sense of righteousness, you have taken to a path leading only to grief. I cannot stay here any longer with you. Along with all the people of Ayodhya, I shall follow Ram to the forest. Ram reproached his father and politely spoke. O great king, of what use to me is an army and all your riches? I have renounced the kingdom. How then can I take its wealth? One who has parted with an elephant and yet seeks to retain its leash is simply a fool. I am resolved to enter the forest and dwell there with the ascetics, wearing the barks of trees and living on whatever produce I can glean day to day. Ram wanted to act only in accord with the scriptural instructions. He wanted to regard the vow of forest life. He told his father that one living in the forest should not do so in great opulence. Ram asked that the king not bestow upon his brother a kingdom bereft of its riches. Ram would leave only with his weapons and a spade for digging roots. Turning to the king's servants, Ram said, "Bring me the tree barks, and I shall take off these royal garments and make ready to depart." His request so gladdened Kaikeyi that she personally fetched the austere forest clothes made from barks and grasses, which she had already prepared, shamelessly handing them to Ram, Lakshman, and Sita. She said, "Put these on." Ram and Lakshman quickly and adroitly changed into those clothes. But the beautiful Sita was perplexed. She was unsure of how to wear them. Trying again and again to place the bark linen over her clothes, Sita felt abashed. Her eyes flooded with tears. She said to her husband, "How does one wear such dress, my lord?" Ram personally fastened the bark over Sita's silk dress. Seeing her clad in forest apparel, her many female servants began to wail piteously. "This noble princess has not been ordered to enter the forest. Dear Ram, please let her remain here with us so we may continue to serve her and enjoy the blessing of seeing her divine form. How can this gentle lady live like an ascetic in the forest? She does not deserve to suffer in this way." After hearing their loving protests, Ram continued to tie on Sita's forest clothes as she desired. Suddenly, sage Vasishta became overwhelmed with distress at seeing the gentle Sita about to enter the forest. Feeling angered and weeping hot tears, he said to Kaikeyi, "O cruel woman, have you no shame? After deceiving the king and bringing disgrace to your family, you are still not satisfied? Will you stand by and watch as this high-born lady leaves for the forest, wearing the coarse garments you prepared? You did not ask that she be exiled along with Ram. These tree barks are not meant for her. Excellent garments and jewels should be brought by you for your daughter-in-law. She should proceed to the forest on first-class conveyances, accompanied by all her servants." Vasistha loved Ram and Sita as if his own children. He could not stand and watch as they departed. While the hard-hearted Kaikeyi looked on gleefully, the sage spoke words which pierced Kaikeyi deeply. He explained that according to scripture, the wife was her husband's own self. They were one and the same person. As such, Sita should therefore rule over the kingdom, even if Ram himself could not. The forest would now become the capital of the world. Indeed, the entire state of Kosal, along with its people and the city of Ayodhya, would leave along with Ram. The sage blazed with anger as he went on, appearing like a smokeless fire. "Surely Bharat and his brother Shatrughna will also enter the forest, clad in barks. Kaikeyi, you may then rule over a desolate kingdom, peopled only by trees, which alone could not rise up and follow Ram." Kaikeyi remained silent and looked at Ram and Sita, who were ready to leave. Sita wished only to follow her husband. Even upon hearing Vasishtha's words, she was not swayed in the least from her purpose. She stood next to Ram, covered from head to toe in the grass and bark clothes given by Kaikeyi. All the people present there then loudly exclaimed, "Shame upon the powerless king who does nothing to stop this flagrant injustice." Hearing their cries, the emperor became dispirited and lost all interest in life. He turned to Kaikeyi and rebuked her for making Sita wear forest garments, but the king remained silent. Ram came before his father, who sat with his head bent low, and asked permission to leave. He requested the king to take special care of Kaushalya, whom he feared would suffer in his absence. Looking at his son, clad in the dress of a hermit, the king fell unconscious. After being brought to his senses by his ministers, they gently sprinkled him with cool water, but Dasarath lamented loudly, "I think in my past life, I must have given terrible pain to other living beings, and this is why this pain is now being felt by me. Surely life will not leave one until the appointed time arrives. Otherwise, why does death not claim me now? I am being tormented by Kaikeyi and beholding my dearest son wearing the robes of an ascetic." crying out,
Ram! Ram!
The king broke off, choked with tears. With great effort, Dasharatha then managed to control his grief, and turning towards Sumantra, he then said, Fetch here the best of my chariots, and take the glorious Ram beyond the city. Since I see a virtuous and valiant son being exiled to the forest by his own father and mother, I can only conclude that this is the results of piety as declared by the scriptures. Religion is undoubtedly difficult to comprehend. As Ram and Sita approached the chariot brought by Sumantra, Kaushalya came and tightly embraced Sita, saying, Wicked are those women who forsake their worthy husbands when fallen upon hard times. Even though such women have in the past been protected and afforded every happiness, they malign and even desert their husbands when misfortune arrives. Such women are heartless, untruthful, lusty, and sinful by nature. Being quickly estranged in times of trouble, neither kindness nor education nor gift nor even marriage ties can capture the hearts of these kinds of women. Kaushalya loved Sita as a daughter. She knew that Ram's gentle wife was entirely devoted to piety. Kaushalya spoke to her only out of motherly affection. She continued, For virtuous women, who are truthful, pious, obedient to their elders, and acting within the bounds of morality, the husband is the most sacred object and is never abandoned. Although Ram is being sent to the forest, you should never neglect him, my dear Sita. Whether wealthy or without any means whatsoever, he is always your worshipful deity. Sita was filled with joy to hear this advice, which was in accord with her life's aim. Joining her palms, she replied reverentially, I shall surely do all that your honorable self instructs. I have always heard from you proper advice, how to serve my husband. Even in thought, you should not compare me to wicked women, for I am unable to deviate from virtue, even as moonlight cannot be parted from the moon. As a lute is useless without its strings, or a chariot without its wheels, so too a wife is destitute when separated from her worthy husband. Having learned from my elders all the duties incumbent upon a wife, and knowing the husband to be a veritable deity, how can I ever neglect Ram, O venerable Kaushalya? Kaushalya's heart was touched by Sita's reply, and she shed tears born of both delight and agony. Being moved by Sita's piety, and at the same time anguished at the thought of her imminent departure, Ram looked with affection at his mother. It was now time for him to leave. Ram feared Kaushalya would pine away after he had left. Ram stood before her with folded palms. Please, my mother, do not show my father sad expressions, thus heightening his grief. 14 years will pass quickly, even while you sleep. You will rise up one morning to find me returned with Sita and Lakshman, surrounded by friends and relatives. Ram looked around at all the royal ladies standing there, and then he said, "Please forgive me any unkind words or acts which I may have said or done out of ignorance. Because we have lived closely together, these things are bound to happen. Now I take leave of you all." A cry rose up from the ladies, and it resembled the cry of female cranes. Dasharatha's palace, which had always been marked with the joyous sounds of music and festivities, was now filled with the sound of agonized wails. Catching hold of Dasharatha's feet, Ram, Sita, and Lakshman took their final leave of Dasharatha and walked around him in respect. Numbed by grief, Ram bowed to his mother Kaushalya and climbed upon the chariot, followed by Sita, as Lakshman followed them. Lakshman's own mother, Sumitra, came to say goodbye. Embracing her son, she said, "Serve your elder brother Ram, my dear son. The eternal moral law states that the older brother is the refuge of the young, whether in good times or bad. Never forget the duties of our race, O Lakshman. Those duties are to practice charity, perform sacrifices for the good of the people, and to lay down one's life on the field of battle." Blinded by tears, Sumitra allowed her son to mount the chariot as she called out, "Farewell, dear son, farewell. You should always see Ram as you do your father Dasharatha. Look upon Sita as myself, your mother, and see the forest as Ayodhya." Sumitra took up the reins of the horses and urged them forward. The great golden chariot moved ahead with a thunderous rumbling. As it passed down the royal highway, the people assembled were stunned with sorrow. Both old and young alike rushed towards the chariot, as thirsty men would rush toward water in the desert. Clinging to the sides and the back of the chariot, they looked up at Sumitra, calling out, "Hold fast the reins, O charioteer. Drive slowly. We wish to see Ram a little longer." Ram, anxious to be gone as quickly, asked them to desist and told Sumitra to drive more swiftly. Ordered by Ram, "Move on." At the same time, told by the people who filled the road, "Stop." Sumitra could do neither. With great difficulty, the chariot pressed slowly forward. Seeing Ram leaving and his city plunged into despair, the king fell prostrate. Upon being brought back to consciousness, he got up and along with Kaushalya ran after the chariot. Ram looked behind himself and saw them trying to make their way through the crowd. Ram was unable to bear the sight. He could not see his father and mother in such distress. But being bound by duty, he urged Sumitra ever forward. The charioteer was perplexed, hearing from behind the king calling out, "Come back!" and then being ordered by Ram to drive quicker. Ram said to him, "This pain should not be prolonged any further. Make haste. If my father reprimands you when you return, you should simply say you could not hear him." Finally, breaking free from the crowd, the chariot gathered speed and left the city. Dasharatha was still running along the road, his eyes fixed on the dust raised by the chariot's wheels. Breathless and at last losing sight of the chariot in the distance, Dasharatha fell down there on the very road. And as he lay there, Kaushalya and Kaikeyi came to raise him up. On seeing Kaikeyi, however, the king became inflamed with anger. "Do not touch me, O sinful woman. I never want to see you again. You are neither my wife nor relation, and I have nothing more to say to you. I also reject all those who serve and depend upon you. If your son is in any way pleased to receive the sovereignty, then I shall shun him as well." Dasharatha gazed at the tracks of the chariot. He covered his face in shame, blaming himself for Ram's departure. With Kaushalya's help, he slowly made his way back to the palace. As he passed along the road, he saw the city marked by mourning. Its shops were closed, its streets deserted. Lamenting all the while, Dasharatha entered his palace, just as the sun goes behind the cloud. The great palace was silent and without movement, overladen with a heavy atmosphere of sorrow. Dasharatha went into Kaushalya's apartments and laid down upon a soft couch. He then cried out, "O Ram, have you really deserted me? Alas, only those who will endure these coming 14 years will be happy. Seeing again the face of my gentle son. But I cannot tolerate life without that tiger among men. O wicked Kaikeyi, you may rule this kingdom as a widow." Kaushalya looked sadly upon her husband and said, "Having discharged her poison upon Ram, the crooked Kaikeyi will now wander freely, like a female serpent who has shed her skin. With Ram exiled and her own son installed as king, she will cause further fear to me, even like a snake living in one's own house. How shall I survive without Ram?" Thinking of Ram and Sita entering the forest, Kaushalya cried out in pain. How would they survive? Exactly at a time when they should have enjoyed the luxuries of life, they were banished and made to live like ascetics. When would she see them again? Surely in some past life, she had committed some grievous sin. For that reason, she now suffered such terrible pain. She lamented loudly.
O Ram, Lakshman, Sita, where are you now?
The fire of my grief tortures me today, as the blazing sun scorches the earth in summer. Sumitra gently reassured Kaushalya, reminding her of the greatness of Ram and Lakshman. Controlling her own grief and sitting next to Kaushalya, she placed her arms around her co-wife. She spoke about Ram, describing his qualities and immeasurable strength. Simply to prove his noble father to be perfectly truthful, Ram had renounced the throne and gone to the forest. This was the path of virtue, followed always by cultured men. That path led only to regions of never-ending happiness. Kaushalya should therefore not pity her son. Sumitra spoke softly. Being ever attended by the loving Lakshman and followed by his devoted wife, Ram will feel no discomfort. Even the sun will withhold its scorching rays from Ram's body. A gentle and soothing breeze will always blow softly on Ram, seeing his boundless virtues. At night, when he lays down to sleep, the cooling rays of the moon will caress him, just like a loving father. Sumitra stroked Kaushalya's face. She spoke to assuage her own suffering as much as that of Kaushalya. She told Kaushalya not to worry. Ram would surely be protected by the terrible weapons that Vishvamitra had given him. Ram would dwell fearlessly in the forest, just as he would in his own palace. Sumitra concluded, knowing the power of that prince, I have no doubt that we will see him returned as soon as his term of exile is concluded. With Ram as your son, you should not grieve in the least, for your good fortune is very great indeed. Shed your sorrow now, O sinless lady, for all the people must be comforted by you at this time. They are pained by Ram's separation. Comforted by Sumitra, Kaushalya felt relief and embraced her co-wife tightly. The two queens sat together for a long time, lost in thoughts of Ram. Nearby, the king lay almost unconscious on a couch, repeatedly murmuring, Ram! Ram! Ram!
जग में साचो तेरो नाम
है।
주히 피타네
주히 마타 주히 피타네
주히 마타 주히 피타네
투히 또 해 라다 가셔 सबका स्वामी
तू अंतर्यामी सबका स्वामी
तू अंतर्यामी सबका स्वामी
तू अंतर्यामी सबका स्वामी
तेरे चरणों में चारों सवारे
तू ही बिगाड़े तू ही सवारे
तू ही बिगाड़े तू ही सवारे
तू ही बिगाड़े तू ही सवारे
इस जग के सारे काम
तू ही जगदाता विश्व विधाता
तू ही जगदाता विश्व विधाता
तू ही सुबह
तू ही शाम
तेरा
तू ही माता तू ही पिता है
तू ही माता तू ही पिता है
तू ही तो है राधा का श्याम
हे राम हे राम हे राम हे राम
तू अंतर्यामी सबका स्वामी
तू अंतर्यामी सबका स्वामी
तू अंतर्यामी सबका स्वामी
तू अंतर्यामी सबका स्वामी
तेरे चरणों में चारों धाम
हे राम हे राम हे राम
सवारे
तू ही बिगाड़े तू ही सवारे
तू ही बिगाड़े तू ही सवारे
तू ही बिगाड़े तू ही सवारे
इस जग के सारे काम
हे राम हे राम हे राम
हे राम दाता विश्व विधाता
तू ही जगदाता विश्व विधाता
तू ही जगदाता विश्व विधाता
तू ही जगदाता विश्व विधाता
तू ही सुबह तू ही शाम
हे राम हे राम हे राम हे राम
जग में साचो तेरो नाम
हे राम हे राम हे राम हे राम
तू ही पिता है
तू ही माता
तू ही पिता है
तू ही माता
तू ही पिता है तू ही तो है राधा का श्याम
हे राधा